Hi everyone. I'll be speaking about bots today, mainly about typical scenarios we see companies are working on. My name is Ami, and I'm part of the Partner Catalyst team in Microsoft, where we work on cutting-edge technology with startups and innovation labs. And in the last year, we were focusing on bots, so let's start. So conversational applications, or as we prefer to call them, bots, are very popular right now. Every company, small or large, is looking at implementing and building bots to address specific business needs. But are the scenarios for bots really justifiable? Are they supposed to help existing apps or replace them? Or should we just ignore bots completely because it's just a hype? Let us look at some of the typical scenarios we see companies working on and what we are learning from them. So a certain news agency has this popular news reader mobile app, and they found out that the users are spending more time in messaging applications and even sharing news this way. They also did research, and they found out that the users are spending an average of 1, maybe 2 hours driving, stuck in traffic every day. Well, one thing you don't want to do is having your users play with your mobile app while driving, right? So what if your mobile app was sort of context aware? What if it understood when it was plugged into the car, and when that happened, it became like a virtual passenger that has a conversation with you and brought you updates on the news and answer your questions about specific topics, maybe updates about driving conditions, and so on. So here's one spec about bots. They can adapt. They can run on mobile. They can run on your desktop. They can run on cars and on rich UIs. They can even work via speech only. All of that is possible with bots. And speech, it turns out, works especially well when typing is not an option, like when you're driving a car, or when you go for a run and have your Bluetooth earphones with you. So you can use the Microsoft Bot Framework to build that kind of a scenario. Our cognitive service system manages speech-to-text and text-to-speech, even train them to deal with specific kind of noise when doing speech recognition, like the type of noise you get when you're inside your car and have your engine running on the background. And then use the Microsoft Bot Framework Direct Line API to surface that bot right inside your app. So your app is still in control, but now it offers a conversational interface with it. You can also build a voice-based bot using Skype, which allows you to call your bot and talk to it, not just type it or not just text it. Now, here's another scenario. Azure, which is our cloud platform, has this big web portal, and that portal is what users, what developers and IT professionals use to manage the resources in the cloud. Now, imagine that all I have with me is my mobile phone, and I just need to find and stop a virtual machine on Azure. Well, I have a couple of options. One is I can launch the browser on my phone, load the portal, log on, and look in the menus and look for the virtual machines, list them, and find the specific one that I want to stop, and stop it. That's one option. The second option is I can open Skype, still on my phone, and find the Azure bot and tell it, list VMs, stop VM main. I can do that on Skype in seconds. I really mean seconds. You can try it yourself. But I could have built an app that does the same thing, you'd say. Of course you can. And then you have to code natively for each platform, test it for every device, for every screen size, package it, publish it on all of the app stores. Let's face it, that's a lot of work. Now, let's say I switch from my phone to my desktop, to Skype on desktop, or vice versa. the same bot is still there. It still knows who I am. It actually remembers what I just did. It knows which VM I selected. It knows the actual command I just ran to stop this VM. You get all of this for free. We didn't have to write a single line of code to synchronize all of this data across all of these devices. Try to do that with a custom app. That's a lot of work. So, a bot can follow you across all of your devices and carry your settings with you, carrying your ID, carrying even your operations in this particular scenario. That happens for free. How do you build that? Well, actually, we already did. If you follow this URL, you can see the Azure bot and see how it works. You can see the source code for the Azure bot. And you can try it yourself on Skype or on any other messaging application if you want. It's really, really useful. You should look at it. Now, let's talk about another scenario. Most companies, regardless of their size, have some kind of a customer service call center. It usually goes like this. Customer calls. You then need to ask them some very basic questions, some sort of triage, like who they are, what they're trying to do, how can you help? Get some basic information, right? And once you have that much data, you then need to route them into their solution. The solution may be either something highly repetitive, many customers ask for the same thing, or something that will require quite some thinking and more complex scenario. Well, how do you do that? So the first step is with the initial triage state. Those repetitive questions can be coded into a bot. So basically, the bot becomes the bot answers the call and becomes the first point of contact for the call center. It asks all of these repetitive questions we always have to ask each customer that joins the call. And then it routes it to an agent who can then just take over the call and get all of the answers and move on. So why would we do that? Well, first, it saves our customers time, because now they don't just have to keep sitting waiting on the line. They can just start providing data before we have someone available to answer them. And we are also offloading the human resource here, because they can now do far more advanced tasks and not just asking those repetitive questions. We always have to ask every customer who joins the call because we just scripted that out for them. So that's one step we can take. And by the way, this can be done via Rich UI or via speech only. And speech is interesting when typing is not an option. For example, you're driving your car. So, I'm sorry, you're receiving a phone call. So audio is all you've got. But a rich UI can often go a little bit further. So don't assume that speech is always the best choice. Not at all. So once the bot has collected this triage data, we can now look at those common requests that happen a lot. Very often, those are very simple and don't require a lot of AI, actually. For example, many IT calls are from customers that forgot their password. And what do we do when a customer forgot his password? Well, first, we need to validate the user's identity. So maybe ask for the social security number or send a text message or whatever the process is so that we can validate who they are. And then we go and reset the password. And after we do that, we give them a link so that they can go and create a new password for themselves. And that is very repetitive. It's very straightforward. And actually, it looks a lot like a recipe. And when things look like a recipe, you know what you can do. You can code them. So you code that solution into your bot, and now your bot can handle those repetitive cases. They are very simple. They don't require a lot of cognitive tasks around them. They can just solve the problem. And this leaves us with the step, with the last step, where we really need a human here. So the bot got to a point where it doesn't know how to help the user anymore. So it will need to hand off to a human. It needs a human in the loop. So there are basically two ways we can do that. Either a complete handoff, which means the bot tells the user, hey, thanks for the data. I'm bringing John here, and now he's going to take over from here. And John now has all of the answers because of the conversation that already happened. So he doesn't need to ask all of these questions again. And now John can take over and deal with the scenario that probably requires some deeper analysis and escalation. So that's one way of looking at it. Another way, and the more interesting way of looking at it, is what we call the supervised handoff. And in this scenario, the bots are continuously chatting with the users, but the operators are watching the conversation behind scenes. So for example, in this particular case, the bot was trying to help the user to troubleshoot a problem in his computer. Because the user said that the steps provided didn't work. So his computer is not just working, and now the bot tells the operator who is watching the conversation behind the scenes. It says, well, it looked like the user might need a hardware service. How should I proceed? And then it offers these three options. Apologize to the user, suggest a hardware service, or let me type. So the operator now clicks at suggest a hardware service. The bot then already has a script for dealing with how to offer and how to suggest a hardware service. So it takes over again and runs the task that the operator requested. But what's interesting about it is that the operator didn't have to type a single word to be in control of the whole situation. And that's what's interesting about many of those scenarios. Actually, the best bots, the most efficient ones out there, make users type less, not more. Because having to type a lot, it's just a terrible experience. You don't want that, right? Especially on your phone. Same for talking. Can you solve the problem quicker? So when designing a bot, always think about it. How can I make this easier, simpler, quicker? Buttons, for example, are great for that. Don't dismiss them. Another very common scenario we see a lot is when companies have significant large data, which may be based on documents. So it may be a database records in a relation database. Doesn't matter. And user just can't find anything. Can a bot help solve those problems? Well, it can with a few additional technologies. So let's think about this. If you have a database with 2,000 records of pure text, and you want user to ask questions about this, just using the natural language won't be enough. Trying to predict and model every permutation of questions user may ask in this large database may have billions of records. It will be too painful. You just can't predict everything users will ask. So this, in fact, is more of a search problem than an actual language problem. What use then is something like Azure Search, our cloud-based search indexer. And we feed this with all of this data you have that you want users to find in an easier way. And then we use it with bots on top of it. But we have to do a few things with this data first. One of them that's actually very useful is adding metadata. So for example, let's say that these thousands of records are from a job search website. So one of the columns in this database is the job description. You may have another one, that's the job title. Then you may have other metadata about payment, type of job, and how much travel requires, all those things that are also relevant to that job record. Users will rarely describe in a single sentence all of the details of what you're looking for. They won't say, I'm looking for a job with this description and with this much payment that requires this much travel and so on. That doesn't happen, right? they will probably say something like, I'm looking for a job as an engineer. Now, that search will easily return thousands of items. So now, what we need to do is offer some follow-up questions, some facets we can use to drill down into results. Same applies for questions and answers, or knowledge-based bots. Very same principle. So it could be a database of problems and answers, or it could be a database of frequently asked questions, whatever you have there. The more metadata you have, the easier it gets to help the user to refine their questions and, in the end, find what they want. But I could still do this using my website, you'd say, right? I could still use Azure Search. I could still use and put all of this metadata. And I can just plug this into my existing website and make the search experience much better, right? And I would agree with you. You could totally, and you probably should, do it as well. But doing it with a bot adds a few other benefits, like, for example, ease of access. I don't have to load the website, right? I'm on my phone, I'm straight on Facebook Messenger or Skype, and I can just ask a question and find a result. The simple UI that the bot offers, that guidance that bot gives to the user, is also very beneficial. It makes it easier for users to find what they want. Another interesting benefit is once I found what I want, if I'm on my phone, for example, I can now switch to my desktop. And as long as I'm on Skype, I can still see the same search result. So I don't actually have to email the result to myself so I can find it later. It, again, carries with me on every device I use. So if you use a website, you could have that bot running on your website. And it could use, for example, Skype web controls. So you have a Skype UI on that website, and now that it found the search result for your question, I can close the website, open Skype on my desktop or on my phone, and the same search result is there. So I didn't lose anything, and again, the settings carry on with me. It makes it much, much easier. So if you want to know more about this, take a look at this GitHub repo for powered search bot, for search powered bot. So the key things that developers often forget, the key factor to make a bot successful, it's not really how much machine learning or natural language or even how much speech you add to your bot. Those things are not directly related to how successful it is or how useful it is. The key question that needs to be answered is this really helping my users to get what they want? Is this the easiest, the fastest, the simplest way to get a problem solved? For example, if you're building a bot to do exactly the same thing as your app, you're probably wasting your time. A shopping bot to replace a shopping app and all I can do is browse products, scroll across products and buy them? What's the difference? What did you change? It doesn't sound very different, does it? Why would I use it? Now, a shopping bot that I can call, even for my car, I can have an audio call and I can tell it, hey, listen, I forgot to buy coffee. Please add coffee to my shopping list. And it knows what kind of coffee I want. It knows the quantities because I always shop with the same bot. It knows my user ID from that particular website. That sounds like a problem that's worth solving, isn't it? So keep in mind that user experience is everything, even when building bots. You can learn more about Microsoft Bot Framework in this link. You can find a lot of real-life code stories in this link. Real-life code stories is actually engagement that we had with external partners that describe the problem and the solution that we offered them, and also a code that that solved this problem. And this talk that I just gave is based on one of Matt Velosos, who is one of our developers, session on Channel 9, so you can also find it there. Thank you.